A few announcements. The Women's Conference is coming up. Can you believe tomorrow is October 1st? I know. And what beautiful weather we're having. Don't you just love it? Was this just yesterday and today was just okay. Maybe fall is really here. So on the 17th, which would be in 17 more days, our Women's Conference, the theme, Conquering the Giants. You can pick up a lunch ticket at the table afterward. And also, if we have areas that we need a lot of women to serve in, so if you would like to serve on that day, there are different areas of service and then different time slots that you can serve in. So you can sign up for that also. And then one other need that we have, and that is in the area of our sound and screen. The two wonderful women who are in the sound booth. It would be nice if we had a few so that we could do a rotation. It is not as intimidating as you might think it, or you might be intimidated, but it's pretty easy. It's all computerized. You push buttons and do a little lever, and not to minimize how wonderful you two are. It does take some brains, but if you would like to serve in that area, you can let them know at the table also, okay? So here we are plugging along in our study this year, the Shaping of a Christian Woman, and in order for the Lord to shape our lives, we have to be willing. We have to be yielded to Him, and we have to allow His Holy Spirit to do that shaping, to do that work in our lives. It is not by might, and it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord, His Spirit. So it's not our strength, our determination, and our ability to change, but it is to, again, to yield, to allow Him by His Holy Spirit to do that work in us. And so for us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, we need to be Spirit-filled, and we need to be willing and yielded to the Spirit and His work. Now, in your homework lesson, it stated that the Spirit's ministry is to engage the believer with the Lord Jesus. So the Spirit draws us to Jesus. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 15, "But when the Helper," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me." So Jesus said that the Spirit who is coming will testify of me. So the Spirit's ministry is to engage the believer with the Lord Jesus, and therefore to walk in the Spirit and to be spiritually minded is then to be occupied with Christ, so that our lives are so full of Jesus, so full of the Spirit, that then is what overflows and that people see. So tonight's lesson, as you know, is on the Holy Spirit. And I know that we all come from different backgrounds, different teachings on the Holy Spirit, or we've heard things throughout our lives about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can be confused about the Spirit. We can be maybe a little fearful or what. And so hopefully tonight this will help us and maybe clear some things up so we can see what the Word says. When I came to the Lord, I had no background at all, in no church experience, exposure at all. So when I gave my life to the Lord and began at a Calvary Chapel, I got to find out and be taught from the Word who the Holy Spirit is, what His ministry is, how He affects my life, and all of that right off. So I didn't have any preconceived ideas. I did think that the Holy Ghost was Catholic. That's the only thing that I have ever thought about. Now I figured, okay, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing, not Catholic. Okay. So we're going to jump right into this, and sometimes this kind of a message can be a little technical, although I'm not a technical person at all, but even for me, this is a little technical. I like things very simple, and I'm not as concerned with a lot of technical things. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not just a force or this thing, but He is a person. Jesus always used personal pronouns in referring to the Holy Spirit. He said, in the verse that we have already read, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. He referred to the Spirit as He. As a person. So the Holy Spirit is not an it, and He's not this powerful force kind of a thing out there. And He's not the force from Star Wars either. He is a person. The Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and He's a part of that Trinity. In Genesis 1:1, let's just turn there. Right, the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word for God there in the Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim is in the plural. So it's not in the singular, it's in the plural. And so, and then in verse 26 of chapter 1, what does God say there? Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And He is referring to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, to Himself, us, that Trinity. Jesus referred to the Godhead or the Trinity in Matthew 28. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, He said, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Now, that is just hard to comprehend, and for me as a new Christian, way back when, it was a little confusing. Not that I have it all figured out now, but because we're one person, and we're just one person, even though we can talk to ourselves at times as another person, but we are just one person. We can be one place at one time, and God, three persons in one. And because I'm not a technical person, and I can't get in all the technical things, I accept it by faith. I've had it explained and through the scriptures and all that. But when it comes down to it, for all of us, because it surpasses this mind of ours, is by faith. And I know that the Trinity, the Godhead, has been a big stumbling block for a lot of people and a lot of cults. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. I don't know why. I don't know why they would have a problem with it. He's God. He can be one and He can be three in one. Now, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit or His work that we can see, so we know that it's the Holy Spirit at work that we see in Scripture. There's lots, and these are not in order. Number one, He is our teacher. He is a teacher. He teaches. Jesus said in John 14, and all these scriptures that I'm giving you were in your homework. He said, he, speaking of the Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will teach you. And have it, you found that to be true. That is why it does not take a college degree to know the Word of God and to walk with God and to have a spiritual mind and spiritual understanding, because it is the Spirit who teaches. He breathes life. He gives us understanding and wisdom. He teaches us. He also protects and seals. In Ephesians 1, it tells us that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. We were sealed when we gave our lives to the Lord. He came, the Holy Spirit came inside of us and we're sealed. It tells us that he convicts of sin. Jesus said in John 16, he will convict the world of sin. It's the Holy Spirit in this world who is convicting those of sin and showing the right and the wrong. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us when we say that thing that we shouldn't say, or we have that attitude or that action, and immediately we are like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. It's the Holy Spirit who is convicting. He can be grieved. He is a person and he can be grieved. In Ephesians 4, it says to us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So he is a person and we can hurt him. We can grieve him by our sin and our actions and attitude at times. It says that he bears witness with our spirit. I love that. In Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I love that. Don't you just, your spirit just, and the Holy Spirit say, amen, I belong to you, I am secure, and I am your child, and there is an inheritance waiting for me. And there is that big amen within us because he bears witness with our spirit. He can be quenched. In 1 Thessalonians, it tells us to don't quench the Spirit. Don't stop his work in your life. And then we know in Galatians 5, there is the fruit of the Spirit. How do you see that he is at work? The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, goodness, kindness, self-control. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our comforter. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives spiritual gifts. But one and the same Spirit works all these things that in 1 Corinthians 12, just referring to the spiritual gifts, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So he is the giver of spiritual gifts. And in a couple of weeks, that's going to be one of our lessons, is on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He also helps in our weaknesses and he intercedes for us. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, Romans 8. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He strengthens us. He knows what we need, and he intercedes for us. And that is so comforting and so precious to us. He is also the one who empowers us in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So he is the one who supernaturally gives us the strength and the power to live out this Christian life, to live a Christ-like life. And he, as we said earlier, always testifies and glorifies Jesus. Jesus said, when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit, nowhere in Scripture ever draws attention to himself. The attention is on Jesus. Always. And all through Scripture, there is never a time where we praise or pray to the Spirit. It is always directed toward Jesus, toward the Father, never to the Spirit. His work is to testify of Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit has different relationship with us. There's three different relationships that we find in Scripture. If you want to turn to John 14, and we're going to kind of flip around a little bit. John 14, verse 16. And you know, I know it's so tempting when there's a lot of scriptures that we want to turn to and we have the technology to do it, to put them on the screen. But I would have never have learned my Bible had there been the scripture on a screen when I got saved. It was from me trying to find the book of John and trying to find the verse when the pastor called it out. Time and time again that I got to be very familiar with my Bible, and I get to find scriptures quickly now. So we're not trying to do this on purpose to, you know, oh, I'm going to flip to my Bible. I should have it on the screen. I'd like to have it on the screen, but I like you to flip through your Bible too. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Now, this is important, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you, Jesus said. And in the Greek, that word for with you, for the Holy Spirit, is parakletos. And that means the one who comes alongside to help. So he's saying the Holy Spirit is with you. He's already in this world. He's already right beside you to help you. To do what? To take you to Jesus. He is like this bumper that kind of leads us and guides us to the Lord. He is also that comforter, that helper. The other, in that verse at the end of 17, it said he will dwell with you and he will be in you. And in the Greek, the word in is in. It's E-N. And it literally means he will dwell within you. John chapter 20, verse 22. After Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and he was speaking to his disciples, to those who had followed him, and he came into that room. In verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on him and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So at that time, the Holy Spirit was given to those who believed. So it was the first time that the Holy Spirit then was given to indwell the believers. So those men and women who had followed him, he breathed on him, the Holy Spirit, because he had risen, he hadn't yet ascended. But his ministry on earth then was over, and he sent the Holy Spirit then in to indwell them. And for us who believe, as we said in Ephesians chapter 1, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's our earnest, our guarantee. The Lord said, okay, you've given your life to me. You are mine. Now I'm going to deposit my Holy Spirit within you, that I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. You're mine. You're marked. You are mine. So he indwells every believer. So he is alongside of us. He's with us, guiding us like that. Then he is inside of the believer. And then there is a third relationship that he has If you flip your page to the right in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking to them before he ascended, just his disciples again, that they have the Holy Spirit with them and in them. But he said, you know what? That's not enough. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon. It's a different word than with, than in. It's upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The word upon there in the Greek is epi, E-P-P-I or E-P-I. And it means to be literally upon, to be immersed, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said he is with you, he is in you, and now he needs to come upon you to empower you so that you can be a witness for me to the rest of this world. R.A. Torrey, in his book, The Person and the Work of the Holy Spirit, he said, a man or woman may be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, born again by the Holy Spirit, and still not be baptized with the Holy Spirit or have that upon experience. In regeneration, there is an impartation of life, and the one who receives it is saved. In the baptism with the Holy Spirit, there is an impartation of power, and the one who receives it is fitted for service. So you can be born again. The Holy Spirit can be with you. The Holy Spirit can be in you. But there is that third experience, third relationship that we need to have, and that is the upon, the power of the Holy Spirit. So this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we all have different backgrounds. And a lot of this causes confusion for a lot of people. And I hope that I'm not making it even more confusing for you. But a lot of people, they just want to believe that when you ask the Lord in your life, boom, everything happens all at once. And it could be because when they think of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, that can sound a little scary. And because the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been so abused that they can be afraid of that. And then they don't want to dig deeper. They don't want to see it. They just want to do this, okay, all at once kind of a thing. And don't bother me with all the rest. And people are free to believe and to live how they want to in that way, but you could be missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a lot of people who, because of their background, they don't believe in any of those spiritual gifts, and that whole Holy Spirit thing scares them. And yet you meet them, and there is no doubt that they have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is just coming out of their lives. Damien always gives that illustration. When we water baptize, you're underneath the water, you come out of the water. As soon as you come into contact with that person who just came out of the water and you hug them, what happens to you? You get all wet. So when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is flowing out of our life and we come in contact with that person, then we see the Holy Spirit. It's taking an effect on us. So there can be people who, though they don't have the theology and the doctrine and the whole all kind of thing, they have been so yielded to the Lord that he pours his Holy Spirit out upon them. And though they don't want to believe in those words, he is still upon them. It can happen when you give your life to the Lord, when you ask the Lord into your life. It can happen at that moment. It can also happen at a later time, and I'll show you where it is in Scripture in a bit. It can happen a year later. It can happen 5 years later. It can happen 20, 30, 40 years later. But as long as he comes upon you, doesn't matter if you missed out on a lot, but it's never too late. So the whole purpose of this baptism with the Holy Spirit is provision for power for service, to be a witness of Christ. We cannot live this life by ourselves. All of us have tried. We've tried to be good. We've tried to not say what we shouldn't say. We've tried to have the right attitude. We try and we try and we try. And what happens? We fail and we fail and we fail and we fail. Because we can't do it on our own. We need the power of the Spirit. Now, R.I. Torrey says again, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is an experience connected with and primarily for the purpose of service. It is not primarily intended to make believers happy nor holy, but to make them useful. The baptism with the Holy Spirit always imparts power in service. The baptism with the Holy Spirit imparts boldness in testimony and service. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God coming upon the believer, filling his mind with a real apprehension of truth and taking possession of his faculties, imparting to him gifts not otherwise his, but which qualify him for service to which God has called him. So it really, to serve the Lord and to walk with the Lord victoriously, it is necessary, it's vital that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded his disciples to don't do anything. Don't start serving me. Don't start being a witness for me. Don't start the church. Don't do anything until you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now turn back over to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 48. Again, this is before Jesus ascended to heaven. And he said to his disciples, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, back over to Acts, and I should have had you keep your place there. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. The disciples were being assembled together with them. Jesus was with the disciples, assembled together with them. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then in chapter 2, which we're not going to go there, that's the day of Pentecost. That was the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But in between that time, they started to take matters in their own hand, and they were casting lots to get another apostle because Judas was no longer with them. And in their flesh, he said, don't do anything. That has always been really important to me, and especially as a new Christian. It just showed me, wow, if Jesus told his disciples who had walked with him for those 3.5 years and heard him and saw him and all of that, and if they weren't equipped, if they weren't ready, then what about me? I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus himself, he didn't enter into his public ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. in Luke chapter 3, where John was baptizing and Jesus came to be baptized. And you can flip there, or I'll just read it in Luke 3. Luke 3:21 said, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. Just what he said, Holy Spirit will come upon you. It came upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. So if Jesus didn't start his public ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, till the Holy Spirit came upon him, oh, how much more do we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It was important to him that he commanded them to wait, don't do anything. And then after the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, from there on, when they preached the gospel, they prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they asked, do you have the Holy Spirit? Did he come upon you? In Acts chapter 8, and this is important, in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, because this is where we see that these people were saved. They had given their lives to the Lord. The Holy Spirit indwelt them. But they had not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, the gospel, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. These people believed. In the previous verses, it said they believed. It's the same word, believe, that God so loved the world. If you believe in him, it's a belief unto salvation. They were water baptized, yet the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen upon them. But it was very important for the apostles to say, hey, has the Holy Spirit, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? No. In Acts chapter 19, one other spot. In 19, it happened when the Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through, came to Ephesus. He found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, well, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, well, what were you baptized in? We were baptized into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And Paul laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So you can be born again. You can be saved and have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But again, it is never, ever, ever, ever too late. But do you see the importance of it? If Jesus said it was important, if he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he didn't want his disciples to do anything. Again, how much more do we? And there's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, one initial coming upon, but yet there are many times of refilling, filling new and fresh with the Holy Spirit. All through the book of Acts, said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a cup. Let's say you have this vessel. And you pour water into it. It's filled. So it's the picture of the Holy Spirit. And so you're walking with this cup and somebody bumps you and the water spills out. And then you trip and the water spills out. You need to be refilled. You need to refill that cup. So same thing with our lives. Every day. There should not be We talked about our quiet time last week and the need for that, and that's foundational for us. And a part of that in the morning is asking the Lord, would you please refill me with your Holy Spirit? Because we need the power to get through the day. And then you could do that at 6 a.m. and then at 6:30, maybe you need to be refilled again. And then maybe at 10:30. And then maybe a phone call hits, or maybe something happens and you keep getting bumped and you just feeling like yourself. And you need the Holy Spirit. So refill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, asking him all day, every day. He's not stingy with it. He will give. He wants you to have the power to be a witness. He wants you to look like him all through the day, to talk like him, to act like him. So he's going to provide that power for us. But we do have to ask, and that is exactly how we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the refilling of the Holy Spirit, and that is by asking. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus speaking of this, Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So it's just that simple, is asking. So maybe maybe this is brand new to you, or maybe it's cleared up some things, or maybe it's made you a little more confused, hopefully not. But all you need to do is ask. "I want this baptism with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I need power. Would you baptize me with the Holy Spirit?" That is as simple as that. And then we have to receive that by faith. We can't escape faith. It takes faith to believe in the Lord Jesus, to believe that he's come into our lives and that we're going to be with him for eternity. It takes faith to believe that I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you can know it by an immediate change in your life, and other times there's no feelings or touchy woo-hoo-hoo kind of a thing, or no emotion or whatever, but you've asked. And so by faith, you need to receive and know, okay, he's baptized me with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the day of Pentecost with a rushing mighty wind and everything shaking around. It was just quiet and still and simple. But I asked, and therefore I received. And when we ask, we must have an open heart. We must, again, the faith, we must believe. When Peter was talking to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, and God had sent him there through a vision, and he went and he was just preaching the gospel to these people who had been waiting. They had been seeking the Lord. They were open as can be. They wanted to know who this Lord Jesus was. They wanted to believe. They wanted everything. And so as they are listening, this group of people are listening to Peter. He hadn't even gotten to the Holy Spirit part. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They really didn't even ask. They didn't say the words, because it's a heart thing. They're open. They're listening to him. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, I want everything. everything. God knows our heart. He sees it all. So, you know, we can get confused by terminology and all that kind of a thing. That never confuses the Lord, the terminology. He reads our hearts. He sees our hearts. He knows. But we have to be open to him and then receive it by faith. And so what's the evidence then of someone being baptized with the Spirit? How will we know if we have been, or how do we know that other people have? Well, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. So he will look like Jesus. So if anything, behavior or anything is contrary to what Jesus would have said or done, it's not the Holy Spirit. But if it looks like Jesus, then it's the work of the Spirit. Remember in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It doesn't say anywhere else that the fruit of the Spirit is something else. The fruit of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Does not say that. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. That is a spiritual gift that he may give. But that's not the evidence. This fruit of the Spirit is love. I love that verse in 1 Samuel 10 where Samuel is anointing Saul as king of Israel. And if you've been with us on Sunday nights, it was a few weeks ago that Damian talked about this. But that phrase, and you will be turned into another man. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be turned into another man. I've always loved that because that is what happens. You are changed. Your life is changed. You're no longer giving in to every whim of your flesh. You are so full of Jesus, so full of the Spirit, that you begin to start looking like him and talking like him and acting like him. You're changed. Your life changes. So our theme this year from Isaiah 64, but now, O Lord, you are our Father and we are the clay, and you are potter and all we are the work of your hand. And that shaping of us, that we are the clay in the potter's hand. And it is by the Holy Spirit who shapes our lives. And you remember from our introduction a few weeks ago that clay, what is clay? All clay is just earthen material. That is it. It just is a lump of clay. We are the clay. And what are we? By ourselves, we are what clay is. Clay's purpose, it's possible for the potter to shape that clay and to accomplish his purpose for the clay. Our lives are what take the impression of the potter's hand. If we're willing, if we're yielded, then he can put his hands on us. He can shape us. He can refine us. He can weed out. He can change us. This clay by itself is shapeless, and we are the same without the Lord. Clay lacks beauty, we lack beauty. Clay lacks true usefulness and effectiveness, and we most certainly lack it. And I liked what that one person said, we make shipwreck of our own personalities. But clay in the hands of the potter, then it becomes a thing of beauty and use. And our lives in his hands, in his shaping, by his Holy Spirit, being yielded to his Holy Spirit, he begins to shape us and we become a beautiful creation of his. And we become useful. And we do become a witness for him because our lives are so different. In Galatians 5, it tells us to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So to walk in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit every single day, all day long. And to walk in the Spirit, we have got to be willing. We have to be yielded. Remember, first thing in the morning, yielded, willing, that all of me for you forever, Lord, not my will, but yours be done in my life and through my life today. We all have a choice every single day, even with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We have a choice because he can be grieved. He can be quenched. We can quench the work of the Spirit as he starts shaping us and molding us, and it might hurt. It might not be what we had in mind. And we can quench that. We can stop that by getting a hard heart and then just saying no. But just as a potter, who, if you watch them work, they're constantly adding the water to make that clay soft and so it doesn't dry out. And that's the Holy Spirit in our lives. More Holy Spirit, less of me. That we would decrease, that he would increase in our lives. So it's not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have, but how much of me does he have? We need to be completely surrendered to his work. So the importance of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if you have not ever asked him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, please do so for that impartation of power for your own life so that you can be a witness, so you can walk in victory. And then for those maybe who have quenched the work or who haven't asked to be refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit in a long time, we need to do that. We need to be aware of that and to do that daily and all through the day. So tonight, we're not going to break into groups as we have the last few nights. But what I want to do is, after a time like this, I don't want to just get up and leave. I want to give the Lord some time to continue to speak to our hearts and to say whatever he wants individually, for us to be able to just privately respond to the Lord and to the work of his Holy Spirit. So Suzanne is going to just play some music in the background, and I just ask that you would pray with me and would just sit quietly before the Lord and allow his Holy Spirit to work in each one of our lives. Father, we just pray that you would, your Spirit would move among us, and that you would be our teacher and reveal truth. And Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, do that work in each one of our lives tonight. We thank you.